Welcome, everybody, to this extraordinary interview with an extraordinary individual, Mickey Willis. He's the creator of the original Plandemic film that went viral, I think back in 2020. Anyway, he's got Pandemic 3 coming out later this year. He's got a site that helps connect people with ivermectin. He's got a little mini documentary, The Truth About Ivermectin, and he's got PlandemicSeries.com, all kinds of stuff. This man is extraordinary. He's compassionate. He's full of love for humanity, and he's exposing the truth about the death cult that tried to kill so many people with, you know, toxic so-called vaccines and interventions. Mickey Willis, sir, it's an honor to have you on. Thank you for joining me.
Mike, it's so good to be back. Thanks for having me.
Well, look, I'm honored to have you on. I mean, like I said, you are an extraordinary individual. You're a filmmaker. You have done just amazing work. You're turning the tide on this on a global scale. And I do think, and I say this from the bottom of my heart, I think that when history is finally written accurately, it will be people like yourself and, you know, Peter McCullough and Malone and so many others who will be recognized as saving so many lives for humanity.
Oh, that's very kind of you. Thank you, Mike.
Well, and as and you know,
you're on the top of that list, I would assume.
Oh, no, I think I'll be on the list of entertaining humanity from time to time. But no, we all do our best. But the thing is, you know how much hard work, that this takes to do this. And you're always busy. You're a filmmaker, you're doing interviews, you're producing powerful, emotionally charged pieces that are educational. I'd like you to tell us about this one film that's gone super viral about the truth about ivermectin. Can you start with that and first where people can see it and what this is all about?
Absolutely. So we have a short out there. I think it's about 13, 15 minutes long, something like that. And it was, you know, just really something that had to happen, because when I saw the misinformation that, you know, around ivermectin, as soon as Joe Rogan mentioned that he used it, it was really startling to me, but not surprising because of everything that's happened in the past couple of years. But the fact that so many doctors who knew and have worked with it for decades and that know firsthand the power of this medicine would go off and allow for the narrative to claim that it was a horse dewormer. It's a dual medicine, like so many medicines that are used for livestock and for people. But this is a Nobel Prize winning formula that's on, you know, the WHO most essential medicines list. And it is probably the best thing that I can recommend after having interviewed dozens of top scientists and health experts as a prophylactic to fight off all these variants and different things that are happening with our compromised immune systems. And so we just reached a point. I'd done so many interviews, you know, for Plandemic 3 and the subject of ivermectin, and of course hydroxychloroquine comes up and a couple of other very effective medicines, but none that makes people more passionate than ivermectin, because it is so tried and tested. And, you know, 4 billion doses have been given out, and the stuff has, in terms of medicine, almost no side effects. And it, like I said, is just incredibly effective. So we just reached a point where we were so tired of hearing it. It kind of reached a boiling point for me when my wife's mother and father, who are, you know, veteran medical professionals, when we offered it to them, when they were starting to not feel well, and they said, "Oh, you mean that horse dewormer?" I just said, "You've got to be kidding me." I said, "Turn off CNN and MSNBC and let me give you some real literature on this medicine." And so we just, one day we decided, with all these great interviews that we've done, let's turn the tide on this and correct the narrative. And that's a big part of what we do with our production company is look at the major narratives that are being misconstrued and tangled out there. And we do our best to untangle them.
Well, Oh, I want to mention the website, PlandemicSeries.com is where people can see this, correct?
Yeah, that's right. It's almost near the top of the page right now, but the short film is there.
And I know it's on Brighteon as well. I've seen people posting it, like lots of people. I hope you don't mind that other people are posting it. I know you just want to get the word out on this.
That's why I give all my films away. It belongs to the people. Once I release it, it belongs to the people.
Now, in doing the interviews for this and realizing that ivermectin was deliberately denied to so many people who it could have benefited, it could have saved many, many lives. Perhaps easily you could say hundreds of thousands in the United States alone.
Without a doubt.
Maybe millions around the world. But what did this tell you about the state of medicine and the state of obedience of doctors and the control over their medical licenses. I mean, because I know you're a big picture thinker, and I know you were thinking beyond just, oh, this could have helped a lot of people. This said something to you about the state of our medical establishment. What were those conclusions you drew?
Well, you know, if you kind of reverse engineer it and understand that, you know, none of this was about health and taking care of the people. This is all the power of the emergency use authorization is what they needed to keep in place. When you have that emergency structure set up, then you can override our constitutional rights and everything else that would normally regulate the industry to actually move in a way that's safe for the people. But once you have that EUA in place, then they can do these crazy things that they've been doing, stripping away our liberties and changing policies and everything in the name of, you know, health and safety. And so this actually started when they pushed against hydroxychloroquine, which was another medicine that a lot of doctors and my friend, the late Dr. Zelenko, was one of the first ones to come out very publicly and talk about. And then I did a deep research and a dive on that and interviewed about 30 doctors about that. And that was the first thing in 2020 that we realized, wow, they're willing to go against medicine that most of the industry knows and has worked with for decades. So they're clearly very desperate to keep this emergency situation in place. And that's when you can actually start understanding that that's what it's really about. This is a liberty grab, and this is a way to take control of our lives. And if any medicine, the way that it works is if hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin were to be proven as something that is effective towards this, you know, new virus, this COVID thing that they, you know, COVID-19, then they would have to end the emergency use. And that was why they went to such great lengths to push against that and to smear it throughout the media. Because the moment that Joe Rogan said that out loud, someone as prominent and has such a reach as Joe Rogan says that out loud, it sends them into panic, because they don't want to stop while they have momentum in their agenda. And that, you know, they even had, if people saw Dr. Sanjay Gupta on the Joe Rogan show, you know, and it was really awesome the way that Joe cornered him. And he's, you know, he's this CNN in-house doctor, for lack of a better term. And, you know, he forced him to admit that he didn't know why his network was lying and they shouldn't call it a horse dewormer, and that it was a very effective medicine. And that really, and then he had to backtrack that, and, you know, he had to make up some excuse and to say that, you know, Joe's a tough guy, he's a former fighter, he was just nervous, didn't know that if he was going to get physical or not, so he had to kind of lie on his podcast. And that was him, you know, covering his ass really, and trying to keep his job, because he told the truth. And that's something you can't do these days on mainstream network corporate media.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Mickey, could you give us a little hint of what's coming out in Plandemic 3, by the way? Or, you know, because you've told the story quite eloquently in the previous Plandemic films. What else is yet to be told that people need to see?
Well, the real story, and that is that it's not about COVID. It's what COVID was used for, and that this is a decades-old, if not 100-year-old, agenda to take down the US from the inside out. And so we're going back this time using historical references and a lot of the work from a man that you probably know, G. Edward Griffin.
Yes.
So he's become a very good friend of mine. He's 90 years old now, and he made some very important movies, black and white movies in the 60s, gave hour and a half lectures in the living room of his home. One of them is called More Deadly Than War. And what I love about them is he really gave very little opinion. He simply read from communist manifestos and different doctrines that were written, spelling out in great detail what these people were planning on doing here in the USA. And this all started with his journey. He was a kind of a corporate America guy. He walked into a communist bookstore, was curious, and they tried to recruit him. And so they gave him a bunch of books to read. And he was surprised, shocked, dismayed by reading these books to hear what was planned. And when you see something like More Deadly Than War, it blew my mind when I first saw it, because it was just a few years ago, and I realized this is all happening right now. And if it's not already happened, then you can see the seeds being planted for it to happen very soon. And literally within these manifestos, they would say, we're going to defund the police, we're going to create race wars, they gave certain lines of we must over and over use the word racism, white supremacist, and different words that they're going to plant in society so that they can just keep the race divisions alive, and that they were going to use black people, quote unquote, as cannon fodder to start these wars where they would burn down the cities, and then they would go after the children. So literally it's you can just see everything unfold from his 1969 lecture. And so I'm taking that as a foundation, and I've done an updated interview. This will kind of be a spoiler alert here, but there's a lot of people who will assume that he probably is no longer alive, but he's alive and kicking very hard. And so we do this whole expose of his work, and then we cut away to all the modern moments that are unfolding just like he predicted in the 60s to show this is now happening. And then at the end of it, then I interview him now at 90 years old, and we talk about where we stand now and what we have to do to come out of this mess and to hopefully never return to this place again. So it's really the big picture of the agenda to overtake this great America, because America is the firewall for the rest of the world that is the only thing standing between the globalist and their agenda to create a one world everything.
Well, about that agenda, not only have they become a lot more aggressive in it, but in doing so, they have awakened so many more people. For example, just on the vaccine issue, maybe a few years ago, perhaps only 2% of the country or something like that were even thinking critically about vaccines. Now that number is probably more than 50%. So isn't the awareness spreading more quickly than the tyranny?
It is at this point, it really is. I'm glad you bring that up, because the reason that Plandemic 3 is called Plandemic 3, the Great Awakening, is that's the period that I believe that we're in right now. They have been so sloppy. They're so out of touch with humanity. They've been living in their own elite bubbles for so long that they have underestimated us. There've also been a few things, Trump inserting himself into a game that was supposed to be impenetrable. Also, I think forced them to expedite their agenda in a way that left them kind of naked out in the desert, not fully ready to fulfill it in a way that wouldn't come with a lot of mistakes. So there's been a lot of mistakes, and those mistakes have led to this awakening. And unfortunately, it's at this point, I've told all my friends and people, just stop trying to red pill and wake people up at this point, because at this point, if they don't see it, the only way they're really going to wake up is through direct experience. And they also, the very important thing for your listeners to get, because I just really fully got this year, because I was kind of baffled that, you know, we do these great videos and we show the evidence, we show the studies, we show the patents, we show the paper trails, we show all of that, the money trails. And yet there were people that would just deny what we show them. And it was just baffling to me. I thought they're just either not very smart, or it just seems like they can't see, they're almost blind. And then I interviewed Matthias Desmet, the man who has become kind of the foremost expert in the world on the subject of mass formation. And something really clicked for me in that moment, because he's really talking about how this mass formation works and that people have found their purpose. And I remembered when I was studying back several years ago, the work of Carl Jung, and he says that one of the biggest issues with humanity is a crisis of meaning. And it just clicked for me. I thought, oh, that's what it is. That's why some people even get really mad at me when I show them. The more I'm convincing the evidence is that I show them, the angrier they get. And it's because you have a generation of people that are doing jobs they don't care about. There's no purpose in it. There's no meaning. It's not what they wanted to do as a child. They're disconnected from themselves. They're disconnected from nature. The vast majority don't have true love in their lives. Their family is splintered. And suddenly this thing called COVID comes along, and now you can just put on this 99-cent mask and you can be part of a tribe. You can belong to something, and then you can give each other the thumbs up and you're good. We're the moral people. We're the good ones, right? And now you have purpose. And then a guy like me comes along and we say, well, actually, the masks don't work. and they say, you are now threatening the newly found connection I have with my tribe. Go away, please. And that's the hypnosis. And then they have to actually choose that delusion, so they don't see the truth. Because the more they see the truth, their logic will at some point kick in, and they will have to deny the agreement that they're bonded by agreement with their tribe, and they'll have to deny that bond, and they'll be alone again in their mind. And so that's really what it's about. That's why there's a lot of people who are still trying not to wake up. But despite that, the ones that are having direct experience, the ones who have had enough people at work of like, so-and-so's dad just had a stroke, and then so-and-so's son, he was 14 years old. That's odd. I've never heard that before. And now it's on and on down the line. They're hearing things, they're seeing things. And now they're starting to reach out to people like me and wanting to get interviewed, because they're saying, okay, I didn't believe any of this, but now I have 8 people in my life who've had strokes, heart attacks, premature death, and menstrual problems and blood clots and something is happening. And unfortunately it's taken that, but the good news is it is happening.
Well, see, I want to take this out to a bigger picture as well, because I'm sure you're familiar with the fact that myself and a lot of our listeners are very concerned, and we believe that there are far darker times coming in the interim here. Not that that's going to be the final outcome. We believe in a positive future for humanity ultimately, but in the short term, it's going to be a very dark time. And the masses, we believe, are not prepared for what's coming. And if the truth about vaccines is so psychologically traumatizing to people, wait till they find out the truth about the Federal Reserve, fiat currency, the unsustainable biosphere collapse, all these other things, the engineered collapse of the food supply, the coming food scarcity, these kinds of things.
The weather, the climate, all of it, yeah.
How do people is there any chance that people are going to be able to psychologically handle these things, or are the masses just going to break? I mean, what's your take?
Well, I ask these questions to a lot of I've been interviewing a lot of psychiatrists and psychologists and just people that have made this their life study. And I agree with you. And people will ask me, is it going to get better? And I say, yeah, I absolutely know it's going to get better, but it's going to get a lot worse before it gets better. And unfortunately, it has to. If things, there's an old quote about, good times make soft people, soft men, and we've become very soft. And so these situations have to get so bad to a point that it wakes us up, and that we start to see what we can't see right now. And I think there's a lot of people, unfortunately, that will not be able to survive that. They won't be able to survive mentally. I just heard today, it was just horrible situation. I don't know the reason yet, but of a mother that just drowned her 3 small children in New York. And it's like people are just reaching a point of not being able to cope with reality. And this is all part of the agenda. I was part of the New Age movement for a number of years, and there's a real that way of teaching your children and all of that is detrimental to surviving tough times like this. And we're heavily involved in education. We've started our own homeschooling co-op. We work with a bunch of families, and we're deeply involved in the conversation daily of how do we prepare these kids for the real world, because many of them are not. They don't have to fight their own battles anymore. They have safe spaces. And so when these little dramas come up, I was just watching a show with my kids today. There's a show out on Netflix called Snowflakes, and it's take a group of snowflakes out into the wilderness and, teach them to survive. And I was watching that just thinking, boy, these poor kids, you know, these poor kids, they can't deal with dirt under their fingernails. And what are they going to do really when this gets out of hand? And it is, we're going to have some power outages and food situations and resource situations, dramatic ones. The more they push this, you know, electric, you know, green movement, and the more stress we put on our power grids, we're going to see them fail, and internet outages. And so your audience, and you are right, we are going to see that in this lifetime. So it's time to prepare. It's time to, you know, prep resource wise, but most importantly, it's time to prep psychologically. I'm working with my boys. I have 8-year-old and 11-year-old, and I'm not shielding them from any of this. I bring them into my world. I show them what I'm working on. I explain to them what it's about. I've had to tell my family, you know, it's like any moment now, because of the work we do, there might be, our door might get broken down and daddy might get taken away. And that's just part of it. It'll be fine, but we have to look at the reality, because I don't want them traumatized. I don't want them to be caught off guard. And so, you know, that's part of the work. And it's really being in that reality of what the potential is, because this idea that it can't happen here is a very deadly idea.
Surely you must also recognize that this is a very unusual time in human history, that in the history of deception and propaganda, there have been other times similar to this, but they don't dominate the timeline of human history. This is something that is, you know, way out on the, I don't know, the bell curve, so to speak, the extreme side of psyops. And yet here we are. I mean, I know there have been psyops throughout history, but they haven't been usually this intense to where they're trying to get people to sign up to die. Yeah. I mean, right. This is something totally different. And it's happening in parallel with another psyop, which is the genital mutilation of children. Yeah. That's happening, which is so bizarre. And I think Netflix or Amazon or Disney putting out like this Little Demons show, which is celebrating demonism and all these kinds of things. We've never seen this kind of thing, this combination in human history. And it's bizarre.
It is bizarre, you know, and I will say that 10, 12 years ago, I had a couple of young men approach me because of my position working as a producer in media. And they broke all this down for me. And the moment I heard out of their mouths, Illuminati and New World Order, you know, I was probably visibly rolling my eyes, but that's what was going on inside me. And I arrogantly kind of just said, you know, grow up, boys. It's, you watch too much TV. And I was wrong and they were right. And so it's, you know, I was in my bubble and really in a world of denial that any of this stuff could happen. And that's been one of the toughest things for people to get, is that, you know, I've had a lot of people say to me, are you saying to me that all these organizations are involved in this? And I said, yes, they're all involved in it, but not always wittingly. And it's when you understand the game of influence, and that these, the people behind this they've been studying our behavior and our minds while we've been, you know, distracted by gadgets and Facebook and TikTok and all this stuff and Kardashians. And so they actually know how the mind works. And that's something that we need to get better at, because, you know, this thing we call our attention, I always say that is the rudder of our ship. And I know from spending decades in the world of advertising, making commercials, infomercials, and selling products, that they pay people a lot of money to sit in boardrooms and to find the psychological way to capture your attention. Because the moment they have your attention, they have the will of your ship, and they can steer you wherever they want you to go. And that is, we have to reclaim our attention. We can't give it away anymore. We have to watch all the lures, the things that pull us away, the things that we use to distract ourselves from priorities, from responsibilities, from reality, and all the different ways that sex and flashy things and cars and material items are used as literally as bait, as lure to pull us in another direction. And fear is also the greatest lure, because that, you know, it'll pull us in the direction of what we're told is safety, you know, and our instincts kick in. We need to survive. We have those primal intrinsic instincts. And so fear is used to steer our attention wherever they want us to go. And we have to get wiser about that and understand the dynamics of the way that our minds work and take them to, you know, literally become the masters of our attention again.
You've really hit upon something key right there. So for those who are that I would call oblivious, in their minds, survival means urgently following what they're directed to do by central authority figures. So say, oh, in order to survive, I have to wear a mask. I have to take the jab. I have to follow directions. I have to social distance. I have to send my kids to school behind plexiglass or just lock them in their rooms and have Zoom school, you know? But to someone who is, I think, more informed, survival means rejecting those central authority messages and actually decentralizing their survival network so that they're surviving based on the people they know, the wisdom they're gaining independently, rather than just being spoon-fed what it is to survive. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense. And right now, the scariest thing to me are not the evil ones that are literally at the helm of this agenda, but it's the people who follow them. I'm not afraid of the handful of wealthy people who are, you know, pulling the strings. It's the display that we have seen in the past 2 years of the willingness for the human organism to be led in off a cliff. Like, we have followed the science off a cliff. And for it doesn't have to have logic. And they will continue to listen to the very sources who have done nothing but lie to them over and over and over. And that's the one thing that has me most concerned, is to be able to say, what has CNN and MSNBC said, you know, to their left-leaning audience in the past 4 years that has been helpful, that has been accurate, that has been true? Everything from Russiagate to everything else you can imagine. These people have just been lied so hard to, but those that continue to cling on to those voices of leadership, those are the ones that scare me, because those are the ones that will commit the worst crimes against humanity at the orders of their leaders. And so this complacency, the way that so many people in this generation have been wired to follow, that was on Netflix a couple years ago. My friend used to host it, and it was called Brain Games. And there's one exercise done on there, and I brought this up today in a meeting, a production meeting, because I said, it's almost time that we're going to, you know, recreate or film some of our own these human experiments for Plandemic 3, so we can show people. Instead of just tell them, we can show them how easily manipulated we are. And real quick, this one episode had this moment where there was a waiting room of, say, 8 people or so in a doctor's office, and everyone was actors. And a woman walked in, she was the only non-actor, and she sat down, and a weird buzzer would go off, and everyone would stand up. And the woman would look around. The first time she didn't stand up, and then a buzzer would go off, and everyone would sit down again.
Right.
And the second time the buzzer went off, everyone stood up, and she stood up with them. Finally, all the actors were gone, and there were 4 people that weren't actors, and they all obeyed the buzzer every time it went off.
Yes.
Every time.
Unreal.
And they had no idea why. They just did it because everyone else in the waiting room was doing it. And that's a really clear and frightening example of the way that we've been programmed to follow.
So yeah, they were very effectively trained even to do it on their own once the pattern people were gone. Well, in fact, it occurred to me just the other day that what we're watching with the weaponization of the FBI against the American people is exactly like the Stanford prison experiment. Mm-hmm. Remember where they took the graduate students and they made some of them jailers and others prisoners. And then they began a role play, and pretty soon the so-called jailers became, you know, cruel, tyrannical, anti-human creatures in essence, just abusing their authority. And this is what we're seeing in society. So certain people are given authority over others, and then they automatically take on that jailer role, and they exploit that power against others. They become cruel, inhumane, violating people's human rights and civil rights. So it just underscores the importance of the the separation of powers and the checks and balances in the system, and why we need to have the fundamental Bill of Rights, which is founded on human rights too. But yeah, you're familiar with that experiment, I'm sure.
Absolutely. And and it works in the opposite direction too. You know, there's a nocebo and placebo effect. And there's another several experiments. I've been collecting all these human experiments. And there's another one that I'll mention briefly. And that was a junior high bust in a bunch of kids. And they told all the teachers that these were truly gifted kids. And they needed, you know, special attention because they're highly, highly gifted. They had some behavioral issues because they were so gifted, but they were just off the chart IQ wise. And by the end of the year, these kids were excelling beyond imagination. And the truth was they weren't gifted kids, you know, as far as the system would be concerned. Yeah. There were kids that had flunked out their entire life, but because the authorities were told and believed that they were gifted, they gave them the space to be gifted. They treated them as gifted. They gave them the freedom to make mistakes and have outbursts because they knew that they were so intelligent that they just sometimes they have outbursts instead of just it's a bad kid with a bad attitude. And these kids, by the end of the year, 100% of them were excelling. And so that when I heard that and I studied that experiment for the first time, it really helped me, particularly as a father, of what I say to my children, you know, and how I treat them and how I see them. And so, but again, the people that are running this narrative, they know that. So they never want to lift us up. They want us to be, you know, we're oppressed, we're parasites on the planet, we're a failed experiment. And all this narrative that keeps us in this frame of mind, this lowly frame of mind of, and when we have that outlook on ourselves, then we behave that way and we attract that into our lives and we become that.
Yeah. That is fascinating. How people can be shaped simply by expectations, you know, external expectations. It also underscores then when Joe Biden calls half the country extremists and a threat to democracy, mm-hmm. It tells you how they expect to treat those people. So they vilify and then they try to isolate and then they try to destroy. And that's inhuman what they're doing. Just extraordinary. Well,
they would love nothing more right now while everything is being revealed. They would love nothing more than a civil war right now where they could justify their, you know, their claim of white supremacy and all the stuff that they have targeted at half of our populace. And that's really, you know, that's one thing I want to say to everyone. It's really great to be prepared. It's really great to be protected, to be safe. But we have to be the smart ones. We have to be the ones to understand that they are pushing for us to be in the street and violent. And the moment we do that, we've lost.
Yeah, we've got to resist that provocation, which they're going to repeat. They're going to make it very emotional. They're going to be the psychological terrorists to try to provoke that kind of response from people, just like you said, so they can justify their own abuse of power. So, Mickey, we got to wrap this up, but I want to give you an opportunity to tell people where they can find your work. I already mentioned plandemicseries.com. What other websites should people know about to find your films and your upcoming work?
Yeah, well, thank you. Yeah, we have several films in production right now. We have a film called Bad Medicine that is in production. We have a film called Safe and Effective. You can imagine what that's about. And then we have Plandemic 3, The Great Awakening. And everything Plandemic related is at plandemicseries.com. My book is on there for free. All my films are free. There's also the ivermectin film is on there. If people want to know where the place I recommend to get ivermectin, go to thetruthaboutivermectin.com. That's the compound pharmacy that I buy it from. It's delivered to my door. It's the best milligram. It's the best quality that I know of. So feel free to go there. They're really great guys. And just keep an eye out. If you sign up for our newsletter, which is on plandemicseries.com, we have a big event Friday night in Texas for anyone who's local and in Texas. We have an event going on that if you go to, that one can be found at thetexasnexus.com. org, thetexasnexus.org. And that's right on the front page there. Del Bigtree and I and JP Sears are doing a pre-launch party for Plandemic 3. Does this podcast air in time for that? Or
yeah,
it does.
Within perfect. Less than 12 hours after we're recording it. Yeah,
okay, fantastic. Well, I would love to see people there. But plandemicseries.com is really the place. And sign up for our newsletter. That's how we keep in touch with everybody.
Okay. All right. Very cool. You've given people a lot of resources and a lot to think about. And I really appreciate you, Mickey, for all that you do. Really look forward to your new film coming out. I mean, multiple films, but Plandemic 3 in particular. And I wish you the best and offer you the prayers and blessings that you deserve for your safety, your protection, and your continued productivity. I have a feeling we have a lot more from Mickey Willis in the years ahead.
We're just getting warmed up. Mike, I want to thank you too. Thank you for your continued support and your friendship. I really appreciate you. You've done such great work in the world.
It's my honor. We're all on Team Humanity here. Let's keep going.
Let's do it.
All right, Mickey, have a wonderful evening. Thank you for joining me so late, and we'll talk again soon.
Thank you.
All right.